Saturdays from 11 to 1 p.m.
WBAL News Radio 1090, FM 101.5, and the WBAL radio app.
So who or what will ultimately be held responsible for what happened to bring down the Key Bridge? At some point, these are going to be the questions that take center stage in terms of liability and responsibility, etc. And there's going to be all kinds of, there's parties involved here, multiple parties. And joining me today to really kind of help sort this out is attorney Jonathan Shakur. Jonathan, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So from where you sit, what do you see here in this situation?
Well, first of all, our thoughts and prayers go out to family and others affected by this catastrophe. And what we see is a 95,000-ton ship, 984 feet long, 187 feet wide, loaded with containers, leave the harbor. We believe there were two tugboats assisting to take the ship out to the channel, spin the ship into the channel, and then for some reason, the tugs were released. Question one, that happens a lot, but it'll be raised as a question. The ship proceeds down the channel at approximately 8 knots, which is about 9 miles an hour for the listeners, our listeners. And then they lose power. They lose propulsion. The lights go out. They flicker. They come back on. They go out again. It would appear that someone dropped the port anchor. That'll be a question as judgment. They dropped the port anchor. There's no evidence, but one of the questions will be whether they tried to back down, which means get the ship in reverse, because it appears, Jane and listeners, from the video, which a lot of people have seen, that the ship's in the channel, and then all of a sudden it seems to veer to its right and into the abutment of the bridge, and the bridge is in the water within seconds. So there'll be a lot of questions asked. One, was there a pilot or Captain Ecker? There were two pilots. One was an apprentice. One was a graduate pilot, of course, seasoned pilot. Did they make a mistake? Two, why did the ship lose power? Why did it lose propulsion? Another question for investigation, and these are questions for investigation. There are no allegations here. They're just questions. The ship was inspected in June of 2023 in Chile, and the inspectors noted deficiencies in the propulsion system and auxiliary machinery. To me, as a litigate, that's a big red flag. In the interest of completeness, the ship was then inspected in September by the Coast Guard, someplace in these United States, and was cleared, no deficiencies. So it's a question about the propulsion system, which is what they lost. Other questions? The rudder system, which steers the ship, is supposed to be, to my knowledge anyway, a redundant system. It should be a backup generator. Did it come on? Did it not come on? They lost their ability to steer, it would appear.
It appears that this was just a total shutdown of systems on that ship.
It would appear as such, but these ships have redundant systems for this reason. There's supposed to be a backup generator, to my knowledge. They're going to have to check to see if it came on, did it come on, was the rudder functional at all? You know, the whole thing took about, a little less than 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from the time that you have the first flicker of lights or the Mayday call, I think,
that's right.
Really brief.
It was 4 minutes and 23 seconds. One of the pundits said they were timing it on the video. And so how did they lose power? Were there any backup systems functioning? Was there a rudder failure? That's supposed to be a redundant system. The releasing of the tugboats, which is done a lot. I'll say that. Questions for investigation.
Jonathan, this is kind of a... These are complicated ownership schemes with these ships. Am I right?
Yes. This ship was owned by Grace Ocean Investment out of Singapore, but it was chartered by Maersk, which is a carrier, and the operator of the ship was the Synergy Group. So, yes, it's very complicated.
And so when you get to the point of assigning, I guess this depends on what the investigation shows.
Right.
As to who did what or didn't do.
Well, the owner is normally the one who, the group which is responsible. The charter company, Maersk, allegedly had no personnel on the ship at all. They just chartered it. And so we're going to have to see. We're going to have to find out whether the owner knew that they had a problem with their propulsion system and or any of their backup redundant systems, or utilizing reasonable diligence, should have known. And in that case, they may very well be held responsible. Also, there are questions raised with respect to the protection of the bridge. You know, there are ways to protect the abutments of the bridge from these ships. This bridge was built in the early 1970s, probably opened in 1977. Can you imagine the size of those ships compared to the size of the ships today?
Exactly. Much larger
and,
now.
You know, yeah. And so they put these, they're called dolphins, there's cable systems or dolphins, to protect the abutments from these bigger ships. The Key Bridge did not have those. It will be a question.
And it went down in a hurry.
It went down in a matter of seconds, and then there'll be there are other just technical questions. Mm-hmm. They're going to rule out sabotage, okay. Contaminated fuel, that's going to stop a ship, the engine. They're going to rule that out. Pilot, captain error, they're going to have to rule that out. There's standard testing for alcohol and drugs. That's just standard, but they have to rule that out. And as you know, Jane, I'm sure, and hopefully listeners, there's a black box on the ships just like an aircraft.
And the NTSB and has that. That's right.
They have that. And so they're going to go, you know, second by second with this. And these investigations, you know, unfortunately take up to 2 years. So we're going to have preliminary information from the National Transportation Safety Board, but we're not going to have a final report for a year or two.
John, I want you to talk about this. Concern has been raised, questions have been raised about this. I think they call it the Titanic Law that could limit liability.
Yeah. It's an 1851 statute that is colloquially called the Titanic Law. And that's where the ship owner can tender the damaged ship and any tending freight as damages and limit their damages to the value of the damaged ship and any pending freight. It can be defeated if the claimants, the plaintiffs can show, the people damaged can show that the owner of the ship knew of negligence or utilizing reasonable diligence should have known of negligence, which would have been responsible for this tragedy. But if they didn't, hypothetically, they can tender the damaged ship and any pending freight as the limit of their liability for this entire catastrophe.
If you were,
that's called the Titanic Law. Go ahead.
If you were involved at this point, or get involved in this in any way, what would you be doing right now?
Watchful waiting. The Transportation Safety Board and the Coast Guard are going to assemble experts. They're experts themselves. And they're going to have to do this complete investigation to find out exactly what was responsible for what happened and who was responsible for what happened and how it could have been avoided. You know, if the tugs were still on the ship, you know, we may see legislation come out of Annapolis where those tugs are going to stay on the next bridge until it clears. Why didn't they have barriers called dolphins to protect the bridge? Who fixed the propulsion system in June of 2023? Did they repair it properly? Were there any repairs made? What was the problem with the propulsion system when the ship was sighted? The ship also had another incident where it struck another stationary object. I think it was in Belgium, I'm not positive, in 2016. And the ship was built in 2015. It's relatively new. Who was the captain of the ship? Who were actually giving the orders when they lost power. You would think it would be the pilot, but we don't know. And so we're going to have to wait for these things to be thoroughly investigated before any litigation can commence.
And I know that the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, did mention, you know, about the liability that, you know, whoever's held is found accountable and found responsible will be held accountable to the extent they can.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, we're talking about the ninth largest port in the U.S. We're talking about a port that's closest to the Midwest, manufacturing centers for delivering goods. We're talking about a port of Baltimore where 30% of the population is within an overnight truck ride to deliver goods. You know, you're talking about thousands of people out of work. One of the pundits said that there could be up to 100,000 people affected by this, directly or indirectly. It's going to take weeks to months to clear the port to even open it.
We've a lot of lost revenue, for sure.
Well, 52.3 million tons were handled in 2023 at a value of $80 billion. The port is losing approximately $15 million a day, and the state is losing approximately $1.5 million a day in tax revenue. It's a big problem.
All right, Jonathan Shakur, thanks, as always, for coming on and kind of giving us the legal point of view on this. And appreciate your insight. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Jane. Take care.
All right. This is the Jane Miller Show on WBAL News Radio 1090 and FM 101.5.
The Baltimore Orioles.